Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with the Jack Who and Crates to My Star Tours. Randy and Justin, how the hell are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm great. Can I be Crate?
Sure. That's the one I'm less irritated with.
Because I don't like sand. Yeah, let's not fall into that trap so early in the show.
It's been a while. Sorry, guys. We were out gallivanting the world and touching each other. So apologize for the our absence. I'm sure one of the weeks was probably my fault, but I'll take responsibility for both if it was. Justin, what have you been up to? It's been a while.
Yeah, I was traveling up and down the coast. That's
which
about
coast?
It. The West Coast.
Ooh, how far up did you go?
Well, I'm already up. I went down.
How low did you go?
I don't know. Somewhere in Oregon.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was all right. It rained a lot. And it was cold as fuck. And my back went out.
Why almost someone ask you more questions about it?
You're not really selling this trip.
I know. It was terrible. I couldn't even drive.
Oh. I'm sorry. That's well, Randy, I hope you had a better break.
You know, I've had a decent couple of weeks. I guess I can't complain. If there's going to be only one complainer this episode, I'll let it be Justin.
Oh, I wasn't even complaining. I was just that was my journey.
This is my journey.
It was supposed to be a vacation, and it turned into just one horrible thing after another. But I did get to watch Ghostbusters Part 2 again, which is great. And then I watched some other movie, too, where Jeremy Renner's, like, in the snow on an Indian reservation, and bad shit happens.
Yes.
Moon River, Wind River, Snowy River? I don't know. Some river. Well, there you go, Wind River. It was recommended to me by my buddy Zach, who listens to the show, so shout out to Zach. He really wants to be on this podcast, by the way.
Why doesn't he come on? Let's dial him up.
I'm all right. big fan. And he recommended the movie to me. I had no idea what it was about, and it's pretty depressing. Just throwing it out there.
When you say Indian reservation, it's
got to
be
sad. Yeah, it's bad. The Wild Wild West is still a thing where people just get murdered or go missing and not a lot of people can do much about it, and it's really tragic and really sad, and the movie was very good. I don't want to say enjoyed it, but I'm glad that I saw it. It's hard to say you enjoyed a movie when nothing but horrible things happen.
Right. You appreciate the storytelling, but you can't endorse the message.
Yeah. Like, I came out of the theater laughing when I saw Spaceballs. If I saw this in the theater, I wouldn't have come out laughing. But I would have said, you know what? That's a pretty good movie.
So the highlight of your 2 weeks that you were gone were you saw Ghostbusters 2.
And a sad Indian movie.
I think they're first persons now, or what are they? I don't know.
Are they no longer called Native Americans?
No, now they're first. Oh, shit.
I don't want to get in trouble. Native American, but they say Indian. They say Indian reservation in the movie. Okay. I mean, I think they do. That's what I heard. It's all interpretation.
I would have also accepted Injun and woo, not dot.
Oh man!
So I hate Randy.
It was really good. You know what's
clearly,
even,
I'm kidding. Clearly,
what's nuts is the cop in Die Hard with a Vengeance that runs back into the school when he thinks that the bomb's going to go off and those kids are still in there. He's in the movie. He's like the sheriff.
I also would have accepted the chief from Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, Tatanka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good shit. All right. How about you, Randy? How was your town?
Sorry, that was a long answer.
You excel at long answers.
I do. I'm good at that. Sorry, Randy. Go for it.
It's all good, man. Mine was relatively uneventful. I finally saw Black Panther, and I loved it. And I saw Red Sparrow as well, which I loved for entirely different reasons, mostly below the waist.
Whoa.
Not the above the waist stuff? You didn't like that part?
No. I mean,
below the waist?
Below my own waist.
Oh, right. Below
your
waist. Yeah.
That's a different waist.
It's a different movie.
Well, there is dong in that movie. I mean, I don't know if you blinked and missed it. Did you guys watch it? There's male nudity in it, too.
Oh.
I'll prepare you. Hey, guys, everyone, listeners, faithful listeners, there is a penis, a flaccid penis in the movie. Prepare yourself.
At what minute and second, Mr. Skin?
Yeah.
I like the blue penis in Watchmen.
You enjoy what the blue penis.
It's cool.
Yeah. Is it?
I mean, I like it.
But a word about Red Sparrow, seriously though, it was better than I thought it was going to be. I was going into it kind of expecting mindless actiony kind of content, and it was a little bit more of a thriller. I wasn't quite expecting the depth of it, but it was some good. Yeah, it was some good storytelling, and I totally appreciated it. Nudity notwithstanding.
Yeah, the trailer makes it look like it's a ripoff of Black Widow, so the movie is much better.
Which I think is exactly what we called it when we first started talking about it after watching the trailer like a month ago.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question, Randy. Justin hasn't been on the new Star Tours.
Neither have I.
I have.
On the new Star Tours?
Not Randy. Since they added anything... post Disney
era. Just since they went 3D, since they had all the different planets. Oh, you've been on it, Justin? Okay, perfect.
I mean, I went last February. If it was on in last February, then I did.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, that's fine. So, what would you guys say is one of the best aspects of Star Tours? You know, Randy, Justin, you got one.
I'm sorry, the comic relief from the guy that's driving the bus. The Sandra Bullock in the skit.
C-3PO?
Yeah, that's my favorite part. The guy when he's like, I hope this is your first time flying Star Tours. It's mine, too.
No, you're talking about Captain Rex.
Yeah, he's from the old Star Tours.
Yeah, I like that guy.
He's not there anymore.
Oh.
That's C-3PO.
Yeah.
Which
takes some getting used to. I kind of like the interactivity of it, the fact that you can feel like you're going to different... planets. Like the more you go on the ride, the more you're going to see different things. And I don't know if they still do it, but they used to take a picture of somebody in the crowd and show their face up on the screen saying they're a rebel fugitive, apprehend this person kind of thing, and it would start a whole little journey. I like the interactive feel of it. That's one of my favorite things about the quote-unquote new Star Tours.
Yeah, and they still do the spy thing, and I think you hit on what was always my favorite thing about Star Tours since its new incarnation was that, you know, every ride can be different. You know, there are, you know, before Disney took over, there were three opening planets. There was Tatooine, Hoth, and Kashyyyk, and there were three ending planets. You know, we had Geonosis, Coruscant, and Naboo. And so you go on, and they interact, they mix and match them, so you get different rides every time you go. And then Disney took over, and Force Awakens came out, and so they made it to where you only went to Jakku at the beginning, because I get it, you know, Force Awakens, new hotness, new people come, and they want to see... the Force Awakens planet. I have no problem with that. But eventually, you know, they went back to where it was a random thing, to where you didn't always get Jakku. And when Episode 8 came out, they added Crate, which is a cool, fun little ride and stuff like that. And I understand that we're still in the release window of The Last Jedi, so, you know, we should probably always end in Crate. But what I don't like is that now it's only Jakku and only Crate. There is no changing of anything, and it really, really irked me. And you know, we've been pretty strong anti-Disney people, and I really want to talk to Rand. This kind of segued into I really want to talk to Randy about Rebels and how it's treated by Lucasfilm and Disney as a whole. So, Randy, did you see the finale of Rebels?
I did indeed.
Yeah, people loved it. It was beloved by many. And Miss Kathleen Kennedy at Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim, way back when, we were all three in attendance when she said it, she made a big deal to tell us that everything is connected, everything's important, it's all one big story, I love it all. Why haven't I heard her say word one ever about Rebels, Randy? And with all of this retrospective stuff that they've been having on Rebels, don't you think that Kathleen Kennedy, the head of the Disney Story Group and stuff like that, shouldn't she have something to say about Rebels?
You'd think, and maybe what she meant by having it all connected is the fact that it does kind of fold into Rogue One, which of course folds into A New Hope. So in a way, like in a you know, 3 degrees of separation, it's connected. But yeah, I would expect to hear a little bit more. And one of the things that really threw me off, it's not in the last episode, but it was in the second to last batch of episodes that aired. It showed a certain new Force ability that we've never seen before, and maybe has been kind of referenced in some sort of novel material before. I don't know how much I want to spoil it. David, did you get caught up?
I read the recap, so I know what happens.
Justin, do you mind if we spoil it a little bit?
Yeah, go for it, man.
So basically what happens is Ezra goes into this Jedi temple, which the way that he even gets access into this temple is kind of almost like, imagine like a puzzle video game where you have to like solve all these things and this has to turn one way, then another thing has to turn another way, and you have to figure out what symbol means what, then boom, a magical door opens. But once inside this temple, it's more like kind of, imagine kind of like you're in between parallel universes, and you're in a long Tron-like hallway where there's like a big open space, and you're on this little catwalk kind of thing that's lit up very Tron-like, and there's all these doors surrounding you. They're like little portals, kind of like little Stargate-type portals, and each one leads to a different moment in space and time, a different moment, a different place. So you can, what it's basically doing is introducing the ability to go to time travel, I guess, is really in a nutshell what it's introducing. And you can change events of the past. So what Ezra does is he kind of sees through this murky doorway the end of season two. I think it was season two with Darth Vader having a confrontation with Ahsoka, and it was left in the open. We didn't know whether she survived or not. But we watch Ezra looking in on that, and he, just before Vader's about ready to strike the death blow down on Ahsoka, he grabs her through this doorway and pulls her into this like this limbo, this kind of like in-between area, and pulls her out of that time and essentially saves her life to go on for later. There's more to it than that, and there's way more in that story, but I have a feeling I'd be talking about this episode for the next 20 minutes if I go into all the details. But the big crux of it is it introduces the ability of time travel into the Jedi repertoire, and that is kind of a kick in the nuts. And in a way, it almost kind of, in a visual form, shows how maybe Luke is able to astral project from one planet to another through his meditation, if he's kind of able to go like access those doorways. But I don't know. I don't know. It's not really explained, and it's just kind of like, this happened, accept it kind of thing.
Right. There's been a lot lately about people complaining about Luke astral projecting. I didn't really get a lot of that when The Last Jedi first came out. And that was one of the few things I didn't have a problem with, that he had this power to astral project. Have you run across a lot of people, Randy, who have been complaining about that? Or
not really complaining, but just more like, well, where the hell did this come from, and why have we never heard about it before? Same thing with the whole Force timing between Rey and Kylo. And that's fine. I have zero problem introducing new Force powers into the game. But it's almost like, I don't know, maybe it would be too exposition heavy if they took the time to explain what these are, what these abilities are, and how to master them, that kind of thing. It would have been nice to have maybe seen that somehow incorporated into Luke's trainings, but I don't know, it just feels weird that after all this time and all this expanded universe material, whether it's the old legends or the new canon, that we haven't heard anything about this before.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I was able to talk myself into the astral projection because he was connecting with people that mean something to him. It's not like it was just some rando. I feel like his bond between Leia and his bond between fucking Kylo was so strong that he would be able to reach out to them that way, in the same sense that they could kind of, just like Vader and Luke had conversations while one was on, you know, while they're on ships and planets and stuff. So,
right.
I just felt like it was more of like an antenna, as it were, to reach out to it. That's what I convinced myself is how it worked. But
I get that if only
and
Luke could see him.
Right.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that that would be the case, that only those people did see him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no one else really make that connection, but.
Like, you go back and you got Sixth Sense.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I feel like Luke can do everything, so I was kind of excited that he was that strong. So I didn't. The excitement of him doing it alone was enough for me to just buy into it. I was like, yeah, fuck it, it's Luke Skywalker. Just in the same the same sort of it's Batman argument. Like, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's Batman.
How do you get back into Gotham? Batman, you know?
Yeah.
I think anyone that complains about astral projection is, you know, he's fucking Luke Skywalker. he's done a lot of other things. But to your point, Randy, about time travel, the only time it ever happened in the Legends canon was Jason Solo, our favorite Darth Cadius. He developed a power called time walking, to where he basically was able to do what sounds like you're describing what Ezra did without having to go through doors and stuff like that. He was able to kind of astral project himself back in time, and he wasn't able to directly affect things, but he had discovered that once he went back in time, he was able to sort of manipulate things. He wasn't able to change anything drastic, but he was able to, you know, have small interactions with people. But it wasn't anything he really. He used it more in a way to convince himself that what he was doing was righteous type thing. But yeah. Time travel. As long as my blue-skinned alien isn't dead.
Well, you didn't watch the last episode.
I'm on team. It's ambiguous, which means he's alive.
It is ambiguous, and they even flash forward at the end to show. So we see the majority of the spoilers up the ass here. So this is your only warning. We see. Like, flashes forward in time after the Battle of Endor, after the events of Return of the Jedi, that pretty much all the rest of the Ghost crew is still around, and Ahsoka teams up with Sabine to basically go off searching the galaxy looking for Ezra, and presumably these giant space squid things that whisked him away through space. So, his fate is directly tied to Thrawn's fate. So if Ezra survives, then of course Thrawn could still be alive too. And that would also explain why he got the fuck out of Dodge during the entire original trilogy era, and how he could be discovered once again later on, back in what I consider to be the true Thrawn era, the post-Return of the Jedi time period. So it could be setting itself up for a little bit of Legends redemption. But which would be cool, because it would bring back Ezra as well. So I don't know. I'd like to believe that since it's open-ended that they could still be alive. But here's the thing. With all the new media coming out, is Disney going to take the time to explore that, do you think? Or is it going to be left open-ended?
You know, I before reading The Last Jedi novelization, which I recommend to all Star Wars fans, it's pretty good. They're hitting the unknown regions hard, and like, because that's they're really hitting it that was the way the First Order was able to come to power. Was, you know, Snoke went to the unknown regions, he and whoever was with him, you know, they tamed part of it, they built the First Order out of the ashes of the Empire in the unknown regions. And it's just strange, because it's one of the few things from, you know, the old the Legends canon that they seem to really be embracing, is the fact that there was something going on in this unknown region, and now we kind of know what it was, and it would be very easy for Thrawn to play a part in this. I can imagine that the Timothy Zahn novel, we still don't know anything about it, you know, it comes out, you know, in a couple months, that it would be great if it took place post-Rebels, and it's him in the unknown regions, And, you know, maybe he does have some kind of interaction with Snoke or someone from the First Order, or, you know, maybe that's his mission. He wants to start, I mean, he has some portion of founding the First Order. I think that would be fun. But, hey. But you should definitely check out Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Is it still in theaters?
It's in your bookstore now. You gotta read it. Yes. It's home video now.
I don't know about all that.
Digital.
It's available on digital now, right?
Yeah. And then in 2 weeks, it's available on... Or the 23rd, so I guess next week. It's available on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's got a feature-length documentary about Rian Johnson and him bringing Star Wars to life.
Oh.
And now we got all these other people coming out, like Daisy Ridley coming out saying, yeah, JJ, he was, like, telling me all these cool things. And then, like, Rian was like, nah, we're not going to do that.
And Jon Favreau's going to... Isn't he doing something now with Star Wars?
Yeah, he's going to executive produce and showrun the Star Wars live-action series.
That's exciting. He knows how to direct a good story.
Yes.
It is exciting.
You don't know anything about it. We don't know time frame. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be for the streaming service. Let's all keep our fingers crossed that they're going to put a large budget behind them. The rumblings behind the scenes have been that it would be like on scale of like Game of Thrones type budgets, which would put them at, you know, like,
well,
somewhere in like
Game of Thrones the first season budget, or Game of Thrones the last season budget.
I don't know. Disney's got money.
They do. So that's also a good reason for people to sign up for the service. That's a huge driver.
Yeah, and I'm assuming there will be similar announcements later for Marvel. I'm sure there will be. You know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is ending. I am sure that there will be some Marvel programming because the Netflix shows are going to stay on Netflix because of the tone and the, you know, R ratings. But I would be shocked if there was not some form of, like, West Coast Avengers or something cool on Disney streaming.
I might have to do the YouTube thing. What's it called?
YouTube Red?
Yeah. I keep watching the trailer for Karate Kid. And I want to watch it so bad.
It looks good, right?
I know. And, like, even Ralph Macchio, he's like, dude, I'm over this shit. And, like, Johnny's like, no, man, this is going to happen. I'm just like, oh, my God. And I love the idea of thinking that Billy Zabka, that Johnny's kind of the good guy in this one. Because, like, there's this one trailer where Danny's kind of like a dick, you know? And, I think that would be a fun little role reversal.
Do we know how long the episodes are going to be yet?
I don't know jack shit about it except for that little trailer. And I'm fucking pumped. I have to do it. I'm going to
do your 10-day trial. Wait for them all to be out and then do your 10-day trial and just binge the shit out of them.
Oh, my God. Can't wait.
Yeah, it definitely looks fun in an absurd, this is going to be a lot of fun way.
Yeah, I think that they're going to do it right and the... Anyone that's a fan of Karate Kid is probably going to just enjoy the shit out of it.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever considered getting YouTube Red.
Yeah, I know, right?
It always pops up, and I'm like, no, I don't want to pay for YouTube.
Yeah. It's like, what are you, nuts? It's free.
I don't even know how much it is.
I don't either, but I don't care.
Probably.
You can't put a price on Karate Kid, man.
It's like YouTube did a pretty good job. $10 a month.
All
right. Got your number. Yeah. Karate Kid. Cobra Kai. Do or die.
I die.
He was on Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio. They were on a couple episodes of How I Met Your Mother, and they did a fantastic job.
They're great.
Because Neil Patrick Harris, in the show, he was convinced that Johnny was the real hero of the Karate Kid, and that this punk kid, LaRusso, Reseda, came and messed it all up for him. So, yeah, that's fun. But enough about fun. Avengers Infinity War. It's going to be lots of fun. Going to be a trailer. By the time you're listening to this, the trailer is already out and you've already enjoyed it and you've probably already seen some really cool stuff that we don't even know about yet. So Randy, or we go Justin, is it possible to be more excited for this film than you already are?
I don't know. I'm pretty pumped, dude. I'm really excited. In fact, I watched Ragnarok last night again and I'm just so excited. Yeah, I love coming off of Black Panther being just amazing, and I love Ragnarok. I'm over the moon for Infinity War. I can't wait. I don't know if I can be more excited. I don't even know if you can quantify the amount of excitement that I have for this movie, Dave.
Nice. What about you, Randy? Are you at peak excitement, or do you need a little something to take you to 11?
I'm pretty excited, but I mean, if you got a little something to give me, I guess it could get a little harder.
Oh shit! I don't know if it could. I'm pretty hard already. I don't know if short of showing us just something crazy like Thanos just like killing somebody, you know. I don't know. I think I'm just ready for this movie to be out. You know, they did a cool thing by moving it up to April 27th. I think that was cool. It was really cool how they did it. It was Robert Downey Jr. messaged the official Marvel, or messaged Kevin Feige and asked if him and his friends could see it early. And Kevin Feige said, sure, you guys can see it on April 27th. And he says, well, I have a lot of friends. And Kevin Feige was like, all right, everyone sees it April 27th. So it was cute. I like that.
I like you. So does Randy.
I like your face.
Yeah. He's going to take or leave me.
He wants to sit on it.
Ooh, I like it. Well, switching from Marvel to DC, maybe from Thanos to Darkseid, the New Gods, Jack Kirby's New Gods, he left Marvel and went to DC, and he created this whole world, and it's one of the most beloved and revered comic series, short-lived comic series. And Ava DuVernay, who just recently directed Wrinkle in Time, she directed Selma, she's an amazingly talented filmmaker, she has signed on to direct New Gods. And I know, Randy and Justin, you have no clue what New Gods are, and that's completely fine. But does it excite you that it sounds like DC might be trying something different, Randy?
I mean, honestly, anything different could only propel them, you know, away from the dumpster fire that the current DCEU is. So I say get in that car and drive far away. Do it.
What about you, Justin?
Yeah. I am excited. Very, very excited.
You're very, very sneaky.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of bringing new audiences to old properties. I think it's great. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You have to reintroduce the wheel.
Whoa. That should be on a poster.
Right? Around one. That.
DC, New Gods. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Unfortunately, Ava DuVernay's Wrinkle in Time didn't do so great at the box office. It made about $33 million, which put it at second place behind Black Panther, which became the first movie since Force Awakens to be number one at the box office 4 weeks in a row. It also crossed $1 billion worldwide, which is pretty good. It's Wait, probably an upper...
Is it the first Marvel movie to be number one 4 weeks in a row?
I believe so. I don't know if... Well, the Avengers came on this summer, so I would register a guess that it is, but I could be wrong.
With a fact check it.
Fact check it!
Sorry.
It's fine. And it deserves it. You heard Randy say how great it was, and Randy hates everything Marvel.
Everything!
He hated Thor Ragnarok, he hated Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, Winter Soldier.
Oh, the worst.
He just loves... Fucking Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. Green Lantern's light.
That's how I like my Ryan Reynolds, all covered in CG. All
right. Me too.
I'm glad you do. But audiences are really split. Like, it seems like it's a real age divide. It was kind of a, you know, the original source material for Wrinkle of Time is a pretty weird structure for a story. And yeah. So visually, she did a great job. But
I had to read it when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We had this, I think it's like a Newbery Award winner or something. We had to read those books when I was a kid.
And you were like, books, smooks.
Well, the cover looked really cool. So I remember being excited, but then someone said, never judge a book by its cover. And that's...
The rest is history.
That's true. Because I didn't really like the book. I like James and the Giant Peach. That's good.
Read That's that. More your speed.
Read that instead.
When in doubt, go with giant fruit.
You got this silkworm there and a peach.
Oh, Justin.
It's good.
Really you. Good. You're good, you. We have derailed.
Yes.
Wriggling time. Wriggling time. Aaron Sorkin. We all love Aaron Sorkin, right?
Yeah, why not? Fighting Man.
Yeah. He was. He wrote a Broadway musical based off of Lee Harper's To Kill a Mockingbird. And Lee Harper himself.
Lee Harper?
What'd I say? Isn't Harper Lee?
Harper Lee?
I meant like Lee, comma Harper.
Yeah, there you go.
signed over the rights to Sorkin to recreate this musical under the guise that the characters would retain the spirit that was intended in his novel. However, the novel, you know, it takes place in a very turbulent time in American history and is very, what's a good word for it? Racist?
Yeah.
And, so Sorkin did his best to kind of update the story. It's still going to take place, you know, in the same area, the same time frame, but kind of update the story to make it more relevant to today's audience. You know, Atticus Finch goes through more of a journey. He doesn't start out as, you know, this great litigator.
Sure.
You know, he starts out, you know, kind of, you know, a normal kind of guy who's just trying to struggle in with his law firm and stuff like that. And by the end, he becomes the Atticus Finch that, you know, AFI voted the number one hero of all time over Luke Skywalker for some reason.
Weird.
Very weird. and Harper Lee's family said, no, this is bullshit. And they're suing him. And the play was supposed to open this December. And now it is in jeopardy. So
she lived to be 89, by the way.
Yeah,
she just died like 2 years ago.
Yeah, she wrote a sequel that everyone hated.
Yeah.
So, Justin, what do you think? I mean, do you think that, you know, that's an old film? You know, it's something that, is it something that should be updated, or do you think that, like, the classic To Kill a Mockingbird is a story that still resonates today?
Well, I think the themes are timeless, so as long as it's keeping in touch with the theme, then I think it's okay. But it's really hard sometimes to connect with audiences. I know that when we were all kids, we all watched the movie. You know, we all read the book in high school. We all had to watch the movie, and I remember some of my classmates were just like, oh, man, it's fucking black and white. Oh, man, this movie's old. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, no two people really receive information the same way. So, to me, it makes sense to kind of update it in some way. But I don't know. I'm a sucker for the classics, so I like that stuff untouched. But I understand the need to maybe change it up a little bit. As long as the underlying message is still the same, then I think it's fine.
So, Randy, as our resident Broadway expert, what say you? Or you don't give two shits?
I really don't give two shits one way or the other.
That was the sigh of someone who did not want to answer this question because he didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, don't mess with a classic.
Mm. But, I mean, you could argue that he shouldn't have even done it in the first place. It's already going to be an adaptation, so if you're already adapting something, you might as well put a spin on it that you think might, I don't know, connect with people.
Is this akin to making the Kingpin white in Daredevil?
Right.
And then making it black, I mean, I'm sorry.
And making John Travolta be the minority. What was that one movie where...
White Man's Burden?
Yeah. That's a dumb movie. Anyway, I don't know. It's if it's already an adaptation, then you got to make it different. Otherwise, there's no point in redoing it. Like that Psycho remake. That was a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho. It was like, when was that? Like a 98 or something like that? With Vince Vaughn? Yeah. To me, that's really served no purpose if it's a shot-for-shot remake. There's no point. If why remake it if you're going to do it exactly the same? Change it up.
We can go to Blockbuster and see that version.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I see both sides of this coin, Dave.
Well, pick a side of the fence, guys.
I did. For classic movies, I'm all for keeping it the original. Fuck, I just watched The Philadelphia Story the other, like 2 weeks ago. And it is amazing. I'd never seen it before, and I loved every second of it. And I am just ashamed at the level of sophistication that is now in our language. When I watch a movie from 1950 and they all speak so eloquently and just beautifully, and then I listen to me talking about like ass and saying like and just bullshit like that, filler words. Filler words didn't really exist in that era of cinema. Everyone spoke so eloquently, and I am downright jealous. I am a green-eyed monster while I was watching this movie, but I still laughed and loved it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Classics are important to check out.
They are.
You know, it's destined to be the classic greatest film of all time. Comes out in a couple weeks. A little ditty called Ready Player One had a new trailer. They released Alvin Silvestri's score. And I was, how you say, excited. Did either of you see this trailer?
I haven't read the book. I haven't seen the trailer. Canceled.
Why do you hate me, Justin? I ask so little. All I ask is that you read this book that changed my life, so it can change your life.
About some kid going to an arcade to win a sweepstakes golden ticket. I don't care.
Ugh. Breaking my heart. I'm literally on the floor crying right now.
I know nothing about this movie. He's in a junkyard. And he can't afford a nice house, but he can afford a virtual reality video game. That's just not that he. This kid doesn't demonstrate fiscal responsibility, Dave.
They are government issued.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's how he goes to school. They're his government issue Oasis haptac gear.
Oh,
yeah.
But what about adults? They're like in adult education programs.
Sure. Well, that's where they work. That's their job. People work in the Oasis. They don't work real jobs.
Oh.
Like how do you work.
How do you survive?
You get paid.
Oh.
Like your job is like customer service, but instead of going to like an office to work your shitty customer service job, you log into this virtual reality platform, the Oasis, and you're working from home just, you know, with virtual reality. So you're interacting with other virtual reality people.
But, I mean, how do you go get food if everybody's busy in the Oasis?
Well, I mean, there's still real life. I mean, it's just no one wants to be there, you know. But just it's kind of like Costco. Eventually, every store will be Costco, Target, and Walmart. It's just like that, you know. If you want to see a movie, you go into the Oasis. If you want to go to the library, you go in the Oasis, you know. You know, you still have to do real-life things like take showers and eat food and drink and stuff like that and take care of your kids, find your wife. But everything you do recreationally and, you know, employment-wise and school-wise is done in the Oasis.
Ah.
A brilliant man, James Halliday, created it. And he's going to leave $500 billion to whoever can figure out his three clues to find his Easter egg. And I know you haven't seen the trailer. It's actually probably the best trailer. It probably is the one that makes the most sense and actually encapsulates the movie so you understand what's going on. And the Alvin Silvestri score is very good. And early reviews coming out of Ready Player One are very positive. I will not see it until Monday, unfortunately. But I cannot wait. And I look forward to Justin continuing his hatred for Ready Player One. Doesn't read the book, doesn't watch the trailers, and he won't watch the movie. just to spite me. He's like, I want to see it, but fucking David.
Yeah. It looks so good, though.
Let me just explain one part of the trailer, Justin. So they're a race, and it's the Acura motorcycles racing, and then the DeLorean comes through racing, and then someone's about to pass it, and the fucking T-Rex from Jurassic Park steps on one car, bites another car to eat it, and then fucking Bigfoot drives between the T-Rex's legs on this race. I mean, that's like, if you were a kid, you would have just came.
If you die in the Oasis, do you die in real life?
No.
Oh.
You don't. Because that's bullshit. That's bullshit X-Files nonsense. That's Matrix style.
No.
Brandy, you're excited?
Not like these.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Shit, you did that. Yeah.
No, I am
that's
super
excited. That's why I lie to my wife. My voice goes like that.
It looks phenomenal. The soundtrack, I've only heard the title track so far. Sounds excellent. It just looks like it's going to be so much fun. And just hearing the reviews coming out. Where did it play? South by Southwest?
Yeah.
Just hearing people that have seen it talk about, we get that classic Spielberg magic. It's like, that's all I really wanted. I just want to tap into that, you know, just pull out my belt, put it on my arm, just kind of find that vein and just pop pure nostalgia right into my fucking bloodstream.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Gives you the feels. And Take Me Out, or Aha's Take Me On was the 80s track of this trailer. Each trailer's kind of had their own little 80s track, so I approve.
You hear that? Edmondson approved.
That's right. Put it on the poster.
Oh, shit.
Triumph of storytelling.
Yes.
You know, I don't even like that song.
Take Me On by Aha?
Yeah. Their one hit.
All right. It's a good song.
I don't even know what he says. What does he say when it gets really high? I don't even know what he says.
Is he saying, take me on? Take me on. Is that not it?
No, but then he says a sentence after that. And they go, right. And it's like, what are you saying? It doesn't make any sense.
Please buy my song!
Yeah. Every time it's something different, I bet.
Yeah.
Bunch of yahoos.
It's probably so that when he plays it live, he can, like, tailor it to the sound. Oh. Seattle Seahawks! Yeah. It's really Seattle folk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess we should talk about two sad stories. The first was the unfortunate passing of Mr. Sir Stephen Hawking.
Mr. Sir.
Mr. Sir.
Mr. The Sir Plague.
Mr. The Plague. Obviously, a world-renowned astrophysicist. You know, he's almost as smart as me, but pretty close. His novel, obviously, was on the UK bestsellers list for 200 and something weeks. And I'm really embarrassed that I just totally spaced and can't remember the title. But I found out on Randy's Facebook page. He was the one who broke the news to me. So Schrodinger's cat, Hawkins was alive until Randy posted about it.
Yeah, I'm the one that killed him.
Oh.
No. I found out at work. I was sitting there at work and a student came running in just like she was distraught. She was in tears saying that he had just died. And I'm like, whoa, 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 wait a second. You read that on the internet? Let's fact check this. And I pulled it up, and you know, no fewer than like a dozen places were reporting it, and this was like within the first hour of it hitting the internet. I was like, "Shit! It is my duty to pass this on."
And like, it checks sucks. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, dude was 76 years old, and nobody expected him to make it this long. So he had a hell of a run, and I think he gave a lot of us hope in the fact that, because I'm one of those people, and I apologize in advance for how this may come off, but I believe that by and large the human race is pretty dumb, and we're all racing to our own demise. And he was one of the very few people on this planet that gave me hope that maybe, just maybe, we might be worth saving. But now that little spark is out, and we're doomed.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Sad.
You heard it here first. Randy is going to nuke us.
Yeah.
Is what?
The end is nigh.
Don't make any long-term vacation plans.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yikes. Yeah.
You know, it sucks to go on vacation anyway because you're just going to fucking be in the rain and your back's going to go out.
Yeah.
It's freezing cold.
I think you did it wrong.
I did. I need to do it again.
Restart.
Do over. Mulligan.
Some of this forced time walking and, yeah. And
pull myself through that window.
Yeah. Piece of cake. And the other sad story was, of course, Toys R Us. I think anyone who's listening to a show called Geek Legacy has probably spent a little bit of time inside a Toys R Us. You know, none of us wanted to grow up. We wanted to be a Toys R Us kid. So, I know. We all did our questing there. So Justin, were you sad when you heard the news?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. They've they've been battling bankruptcy for years, and I can't imagine a world without Toys R Us. I'm actually really sad about it. They, I think I somewhere I forget where I read something about the Wall Street Journal. I think reported that up to like 33,000 jobs were going to be affected by it. That's a lot of employees. 700 stores in the United States. They have a ton in the UK. All just shuddering. So sad. I think
thanks,
like,
Target.
I know, right? They're like $400 million in debt, which is a hefty number. Part of me was kind of hoping that Amazon would just kind of swoop in and like save the day, but didn't happen.
Looks for a long time, like in the beginning of Amazon, like they were like partners.
Yeah, I know. So they must have had some sort of falling out.
Yeah, because I remember Amazon or Toys R Us fulfilled like toy orders for Amazon. Mm-hmm. Like I remember back in the day.
Yeah, so. The only way you could order from Toys R Us online was through Amazon. Through Toys R Us itself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's just not to be. Randy and I went to Toys R Us pretty often on our little toy hunts when we'd go around for Star Wars figures and such. And I remember when the maze that you used to have to walk through when you started through the entrance vestibule, you sort of had to go all the way down one end and then cut back. It's sort of like a serpentine type of deal before you even got into the actual store. And when that went away, even that felt like a piece of my childhood was ripped from my hands, and I hated that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They always had when I was growing up, I always remember they had the same setup. And the front doors to go into the place would open up, and it would be this long hallway. And the hallway was lined with, like, posters for toys and advertisements and stuff all over it. Then when you get to the end of the hallway, you're kind of, like, in this little area that you do have to snake through. It's like a hedge maze of all this new stuff that's, like, right up front and trying to get your attention. And then once you're free of that, then, boom, there's the whole rest of the store to go explore. Yeah. Some of the ones that I remember growing up were the actual opposite. Like, the front door would let you right into the store, but then the exit, you would walk down the long hallway, and again, you're still surrounded by all the posters and all the cool stuff on the walls, and then you have that long hallway on your way out. It's just, for whatever reason, that long hallway I associate with Toys R Us so much, and there's a smell. There's a very particular smell when you walk into those stores that I don't know if it's like that new toy smell or what the hell it is, but every single Toys R Us smells the fucking same to me. And man, I am just going to miss it so much because, and it's a little hypocritical to say because, yeah, I can't remember the last time I actually bought anything at a Toys R Us, you know, in the last few years. So I certainly wasn't one of the ones helping try to keep them around, but I just, it's just one of those things that I have such great memories of my childhood. It's just going to be a hard pill to swallow. And kids are never going to know, like, a whole dedicated store to nothing but toys.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah, last thing I bought there was the Akbar exclusive. That was, I just happened to randomly fumble my way across. I'm like, they're not going to have it. Oh, look, they have it.
A nerd.
Nerd alert. Shit, I'm just talking about going out looking for stuff.
I know, and I used to always get there. They always have those candy machines in the vestibule. And I'd always get the bones. You know how dirty that fucking little window was that you had to pop open to get your food? And that's probably why I don't get, like, super sick. Like, I never really get a flu during flu season. It's because of all the germs that my body got to learn to fight by getting those bones.
Get the bones. Yeah, I remember I used to love way back in the day when they had the video games and, like, the cases and stuff like that where you took, like, the slips and they just have, like, just these big old displays full of just video games. Yeah. Like, oh, this is probably what heaven feels like.
And then they went behind, like, some mirrored room or, like, a cage to go.
Yeah, it was
video
a cage.
Cage. Love it.
I remember getting my copy of Super Mario Brothers 3 at a Toys R Us.
Mm. Good times. Sorry you're dead.
Glad you're dead.
Well, I hope everyone who loses their job finds a job relatively quickly or is given a good severance package if you're an executive.
Yeah, or even if you're not an executive. If you're an executive, you probably don't need the severance package. If you are in the trenches working the cash register or stocking the shelves, those are the ones I hope can recover quickly from this, because this is going to suck. How have you guys heard how many locations are shutting down?
Seven.
No, it's...
Seven.
It's a lot. 700 stores in the, in the United States. Yeah.
Yeah, that's around what I had heard, so...
So including all the Babies R Us's and stuff that are also closing?
I don't know.
That's just a lot of people. I heard that towards the end, that was like the majority of their business. It wasn't toys so much as it was like all the baby stuff.
Yeah.
Not even the Babies R Us's, but there's always a big baby section in Toys R Us as well. But I heard that was where a lot of the retail income was coming from. But the actual in-person toy sales, they're just... You know, and it's kind of evidence when you go there. You see, like, all this old shit hanging on the shelves, not a whole lot of new stuff, and just, like, clearance items, clogging everything. It's like, I've seen this coming for a long time, and I've maybe been in denial about it actually happening, but, yeah, this really shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody who does haunt those type of places very often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's really nothing you can't get at Target that you can get at Toys R Us.
Or Amazon. Right.
Other than the occasional Toys R Us exclusive.
Right. I was just going to say, my Bowser Jr. Amiibo was the last thing that was purchased at Toys R Us.
Oh, nice. I also got that from Toys R Us.
I didn't even go. That was a while ago. Someone got it for me. I was working.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my buddy Eric went and got it for me. I was like, oh, thanks, man. Showed up at my work.
You know what I think my last Toys R Us purchase was? It was Force Friday just this past year. For The Last Jedi. I got my old man Luke figure. That's a good last figure, I think, to get from a dying store chain.
Still got time to get something.
I know. I'm going to go hit one up sometime this week, I think, or this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go Saturday.
Just like one last time.
Yeah.
I'll say I am, but I won't.
Oh, man. I'm going to recruit some talent.
He doesn't mean what you think he means. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, you know, interpret that in your own way.
Yeah. Or maybe. Yeah, no judgment.
Find jobs for people.
Hey, while we're talking about toys, do you mind if I interject a little something?
Sure.
I think in our last show, I was talking about that giant 4-foot-long sail barge from Return of the Jedi that Hasbro is trying to make if they get enough pre-orders for it. Well, I just wanted to give you guys an update on that. As of the day we are recording this podcast, there are 18 days left to go on this campaign, and 2,670 units have been sold out of the 5,000 that they need to sell for this thing to actually come to fruition. So when the beginning of this thing started, it was only available to people in the continental U.S. They wouldn't ship internationally. Just within the last week or two, they opened that up to Canada as well. And we're hoping that they're going to have shipping options available for those overseas in other countries, because hopefully that'll give us a big boost in sales. As of right now, I mean, if it goes the way that it's trending, it doesn't look like it's going to reach its goal. It's going to have a phenomenal final week or something like that. And I'm super bummed about this, because this is a really cool toy playset display piece that I have wanted since childhood. And I'm just going to implore you guys one more time, if you haven't checked it out, please go to HasbroLab.com and check out the Jabba the Hutt Sail Barge toy from Return of the Jedi. $500. It's fucking massive, and it's got tons and tons of detail and all kinds of cool stuff. If you want to hear me geek out about it at length, listen to our last episode. But I highly recommend you guys check it out. If that's something you are interested in or have room for, or you just want to support bringing playsets back into our toy lives, because that's something that they don't really make much of anymore. Justin compared it to the USS flag from the old G.I. Joe line, and you know, we never had stuff like that for Star Wars as kids, and damn it, now as adults we can have it, but we have to just like crack open that wallet and make it happen. So we're not getting a penny of this. This isn't a paid advertisement. This is just me as a fucking fanboy geek really wanting to get my own Jabba's sail barge, and I can't do it unless 2,330 other people join this train. So jump on it. Please.
Let me crucify that for you. For the love of God, get this kid's dream alive. Randy wants this. Everyone, open their wallets for Randy.
Thank you. It's at least worth like going and checking out the website and watching the video, just seeing how cool the toy would be. Because they have like one prototype built and it's super badass. But anyway, since we were talking about toys, I felt it was worth mentioning.
Nerd.
Yeah. You're alert. It's okay. We love you. Well, that's all I got. Justin, you said you had a list, didn't you?
I did. In the spirit of a couple of video game movies coming out, we have Tomb Raider this weekend and then Ready Player One within the next 2 weeks or so. When did you say it comes out? 28th? Ready Player One? Asking?
Sounds about right.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. Man down.
Yeah, did he hang up?
Sorry about that. I'm here.
I was asking you questions, you deaf fuck.
I know, 28th.
Okay. So, yes.
Walk away for 2 seconds.
Oh, my God. I'm asking you questions and things.
Sorry.
So, yeah. There's a fun list that IGN actually posted today. And it is 7 video game movies worth watching. Now, what's important about this list is these aren't necessarily movies based on video games. They're just movies focusing on video games. So, that's kind of exciting. First movie, Wreck-It Ralph. I actually don't really care for this movie. And I love John C. Reilly, but I hate the baby talk that Sarah Silverman does. I can't do it. Especially for 90 minutes. It's just not my jam.
Have you seen the trailer for the sequel?
No.
Looks amazing.
I'm not interested.
It's Wreck-It Ralph 2, Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. And they basically go into the internet, and it's glorious.
No. I don't like that.
You're hero.
Now, I like Sarah Silverman, but I don't like the little baby talk. I can't do it. It grosses me out. I hate it. Next on the list is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. This was a pretty fun movie. Although it was kind of like one of those cult classics, like it made like a couple bucks in the theater, but then once it got passed around, everyone seemed to enjoy it. But that, of course, has Michael Cera, and he just kind of plays like that meek, just boy all the time. He could be like 70 years old and he's still gonna look like he's 12. He's just a weird dude. But
I love Brandon Routh in that movie.
Yeah, he was great.
As the 7th level vegan who has, like, vegan powers.
Yeah. It's got a lot of fun nods to video games. It's just a really fun movie. I enjoy that movie quite a bit.
Chris Evans, you know, the skater boyfriend.
Yeah. I think he, like, throws him, like a building. He's like, yeah. I like him. He seems nice. It's kind of cool. Next is War Games. A lot of fun. That movie's pretty old. I remember being a little boy when that one came out. I don't remember what year exactly War Games came out. Sometime in the 80s, right? Like 84, 85?
Yeah, I'd say 84. Yeah. It's a big part of Ready Player One, the novel. You should check it out. You'd like it.
The idea being that there's this simulation that seems to be very, very real, and it's a nuclear war between the United States and Russia. Of course, that is during the scary time of the Cold War, so that was all the more exciting. And the computers that they use, oh my God, state-of-the-art, spared no expense. On the tech in this movie. Next we have the indie game, The Movie, focusing on a couple developers. Dave's actually a pretty big fan of this movie. You got the folks from Super Meat Boy, Fez, and Braid. But it's worth checking out. I think, is it on Netflix?
It was forever.
It was,
and
yeah.
Then it went away because they brought like an extended edition, like 5 years later, 2 years later, whatever it was, and it was during like Phil Fish's like total meltdown that he had like two or 3 years ago. And then I think I want to say it was some legal trouble, and they took it off. But it may be back now.
Right.
But it's definitely worth checking out. It's definitely a fun documentary. And what's cool about it is that like it gives you, since they're following like 3 different games, that all 3 developers are so different. Like the Super Meat Boy guys. Like, one of them is, like, what you would like to think you would be. Like, he's just, like, this is awesome. I love this. This is so much fun. And then you have, like, Phil Fish, who's, like, a tortured genius, so to speak. And it's just great to see all the different, that not all artists are just these introverted, like, dickheads.
Right. A lot of them are introverts, for sure. And, I mean, anytime we interview a video game developer, it's like, just hire a fucking PR guy to talk to us, because while you might be a genius in making video games, you are just not a fan of people or talking in front of a microphone or a camera. So yeah. Their world is their basement with their computer, and they're able to make wonderful video games. It is not on a showroom floor talking in front of a camera. And it's
And if you're Nintendo, bring someone who speaks English. Bring a localization guy who knows the game and also speaks English. I hate having to wait for them to translate shit.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It never works. Unless you're Shigeru Miyamoto, I don't care.
Hmm.
Maybe Kojima.
Sure. Next is The Last Starfighter, another 80s classic. Lots of fun. Saving the day. You got this kid that's amazing at the Vigi games. And Alien Race recruits him to, kick some ass.
To protect them from the Codan Armada.
Yeah. It's basically Galaxy Quest before Galaxy Quest.
And but not as good graphics.
Yeah. Then last on the list is Tron. Amazing movie. A lot of fun. Big fan. Jeff Bridges. Saving the day. Getting sucked into a computer. A lot of fun.
Never seen it.
Who was I talking to? Stephen James. He's a big Tron lover. He can talk about Tron all day.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds dirty when you say it like that. He's a big Tron lover.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the Tron.
He's wants a light cycle.
I mean, who doesn't, though?
Randy, you got the arcade game in your garage, right?
I do indeed, and I'm it's on my to-do list to get it restored, put some new artwork on the side of it, and eventually move it into my office, so it'll be right here behind me as I podcast every week.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So you can ignore us and play Tron instead of ignoring us and playing World of Warcraft.
Pretty much, yeah.
Have you opened it up and seen, like, the guts of that thing? Is it just, like, a teeny tiny circuit board and that's all there is to it?
Well, it's a series of three circuit boards that are kind of striped together, and that's the part that I need to kind of fix up. It's very finicky. It works when it wants to. So I found a guy, I don't remember where, somewhere in the Midwest that'll fix it for like $75. But it involves me properly packing it all up safely and shipping it out there and getting it back and hoping it comes back in one piece. So I'm also actively looking for new, basically it's like a motherboard. They call it a PCB for it. But yeah, it's a big empty cabinet with just, you know, power supply, like what looks like a motherboard or two in there. And there's like the change mechanism, the coin mechanism and all that stuff. But
right.
I have mine set to free play. So
yeah, it's pretty rad.
It's pretty fucking cool. Yeah, I just got a brand new monitor put in it and all new fluorescent lights inside of it. It's got like a black light and shit, which now that I think about it, may not be the best idea in the office. It's going to light up like the fucking Las Vegas Strip in here with a black light. I
kid,
attack
the wrong
course.
Element.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be super badass. You guys have to check it out when I get it all set up.
I can't wait. I always wanted like a Mortal Kombat machine or House of the Dead. I'm a big fan of the gun games where you get to shoot shit.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about the gun games is they're typically bigger cabinets,
I know.
Because you have to have like the room to lean with the gun and everything. The other arcade game I have is Return of the Jedi, the old classic.
Yeah, buddy.
I love that one too.
Now you're talking.
Yeah,
the House of Dead 3 is like shotguns, so it's even bigger. It's so,
oh man,
so stupid. I want it so bad.
Do you remember the Terminator 2 arcade?
Oh
game?
Yeah, with like the little Uzi or the Tech Nine.
Yeah,
that was
we're
talking.
I used to play the shit out of that.
Fuck, dude, I burned through $5 so fast in that game. I just kept dying. And if you shoot like one of the humans as they run by, you lose health, which kind of sucks. I don't like that. It's like, dude, what are they doing running in front of my fucking bullets?
Teach them a lesson.
Yeah. Don't they see me shooting here?
Fucking assholes. Honestly.
shooting these missiles and all these fucking robots. Yeah,
there was a red button on the side of the gun that shot like it was like a grenade launcher or something.
Yeah.
Good shit.
And then the Terminators would like get right up in front of you at some point where it's just like their head just kind of pops up and is like looking at you.
Yeah, the idea was they were walking towards the screen and then every once in a while one would just be there really fast and you had to shoot the shit out of it. And they throw grenades, you got to shoot the grenades. That's some pretty good shooting. You mean to tell me I can shoot a grenade flying through the air, but I can't shoot this big dumb fucking robot in front of my face? Give me a break.
Perspectives.
Nah. Just to add a couple of video game movies that are actually based on a video game. Like, I'm a big sucker for the first Mortal Kombat movie. I loved it to death. To me, it made Johnny Cage cool. I didn't like Johnny Cage until that movie came out. And then I really like the first Resident Evil movie. The franchise as a whole is obviously very successful. Seven movies, who knows? A lot. And then I really liked the Warcraft movie.
Baker's Dozen.
Yeah, there you go. And I really enjoyed Warcraft. Some would say it's an absolute marvel of storytelling.
I would have to agree with that person. He sounds really smart. Like, you probably gave it 5 stars, too.
Yeah, buddy.
I agree with that list. I really, really like the original Mortal Kombat. And it is... Not a big fan of the horror elements of Resident Evil, just because I'm not a big horror movie guy, but I can definitely see the appeal of the first one. It was very unique. I love the scene where like they like have the laser grids and they just cut people.
Yeah.
Then the one guy thinks he outsmarts it, and then all of a sudden it's like crossways. And
yeah. That it.
And then, of course, Warcraft, just because it was, regardless of what you thought of the movie, it was great to see all of these locations that, you know, we've been playing for the last, you know, 12 or 13 years and stuff like that. So sure. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, and we're kind of in it because, you know, when they say for the Horde and for the Alliance, you know, that's us from BlizzCon.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We were in that room. And
I think I have a vine of that.
Very is tiny. Vine even still a thing?
I don't think
vine
so.
Vine 2 is coming out now. It's coming back. It's going to be Vine 2.
Vine 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, the original Vine closed like 6 months ago.
No.
R.I.P. Vine.
What about who my video?
I was going to say, who did you do that Vine with? Like Breckenmeyer or something like that?
Breckenmeyer.
Oh, yeah.
Like Garfield, Herbie Fully Loaded.
That was badass. I miss Vine.
Back in the day, before Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat all did the same thing and more.
Yeah, better.
And it wasn't just 6 seconds.
No. Yeah. It was like 15.
Yeah. Instagram can go a minute now.
Oh, my God. Now you can go live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for story. Like, kind of like stories like Snapchat and shit.
I think that's crazy, man. Just how far we've come in so little with phones. I remember when I got a new smartphone, I was like, man, one of these days we'll be able to watch fucking Netflix on our phones. That's going to be so cool. And now, can you not only watch Netflix, but you can broadcast live on your phone? That is just nuts.
Yeah. I remember the day Netflix came to my phone, I was at Disneyland, and I was like, we got to go home. Future is now.
I got to watch Netflix on my 4-inch screen instead of my 60-inch fucking plasma or whatever the hell.
That's right. It was a big day for Netflix. That in the day, you didn't have to put the disc in your PS3.
Oh, yeah. You could just stream.
Yeah, I'm like, why am I putting this disc in here?
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was cleaning my garage the other day, and I ran across my old disc.
Was it red?
It was red.
That's funny shit.
Yeah. Well, cool. Anything else, Justin?
No.
Well, you ran anything else?
Tain't got nothing.
Other than buy that sail barge, make that money rain.
Yeah. Give money to somebody far richer than myself. Give them the money. I'll take the credits.
Or just give Randy $500. He'll build you something. Might not be a 4-foot sail barge. He'll build you something.
I'll send you something nice.
Yeah, you a fan of voodoo dolls? You like voodoo dolls?
Yeah.
Not the voodoo dolls.
Do you like human hair?
Ooh,
do you like dolls made out of human hair and fingernails?
Oh, gross.
You went too far, Randy.
As I do sometimes.
That's why we love you.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for another great episode of the Geeklyxia Podcast. Make sure to go to geeklyxia.com for all your geek news and reviews. And whilst there, Justin and Steven, they do a little ditty too. And it's called the Pixelated Podcast. And it is definitely worth checking out. You will not regret it. And maybe they'll talk about this list on their podcast too. And Steven can tell you how much he loves
Tron.
Tron! He loves Tron. He'll tell you all about Tron. And also follow us on all the social media networks at Geek Legacy, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those. And until next time, we'll talk to you a different time.